Tariq caught up with us in the junction to the corridor, and we headed toward the lock leading to the powered-down section of the installation. Past that lock was the passage that led into the giant, dark cargo receiving area that had scared the hell out of me, and then the hatchway out into the giant hangar that had also scared the hell out of me. As we reached the lock, Tariq asked Leonid if she needed help. Leonid gave him a wary look, but politely said no. Iris had given her some medication tabs that were painkillers and stimulants, and she was walking better now, so we were moving faster. There was no filtered air past this lock, so we stopped so the humans could secure their environmental suits again. Mine was leaking because of me being shot, which I was going to ignore. We didn't have that far to go, and I'm not as affected by the lousy air as a human.
Wait, sec unit?
Iris pulled out the little suit repair kit she'd attached to her belt. She patched the projectile hole in the back, and Scout Drone 2 watched Leonid, who had a slight confused crease between her brows, watching Iris be nice to the sec unit. Leonid's suit was expensive enough that she had been able to turn on a self-repair function to close up the hole the projectile had torn through the shoulder. Once we were through the lock into the corridor with no power, we had 1. Complete darkness. 2. A large space that Scout Drone 2 couldn't adequately scout. Again. 3. The humans needing to use at least one of their hand lights so they didn't trip on the intermittently buckled floor plates. I positioned Scout Drone 2 as a rear guard because as far as our intel went, nobody but Attacol 2 knew we had come in this way. Barish Estranza could still find us, but it would depend on A, what information they had managed to download before Attacol 2 stopped their hack, and B, how good they were at guessing our intentions from what they knew about our previous position. It was the first one I was more worried about. I had been across the cargo chamber once with Attacol 2 guiding me, but I knew it was busy right now. It had been curtailing my camera access and mapping data since we entered the corridor, so I could see the area immediately around us, but that was it. I knew why. Its humans would be preparing defenses or escape routes, or both, and it didn't want to risk that intel becoming available to Barish Estranza if there was another hacking attempt. The cargo foyer was so big the hand light didn't help, and I had told Tariq to keep it on the lowest setting, pointed at the floor. Even without full scan function, I still had my dark vision filters and my own mapping data. So with the fixed point of the corridor hatch, I could retrace my steps to the ramp. It just looked awkward and stupid because for the first part, I had to navigate like a floor cleaning bot.
How extensive is this rebellion in your task force? Is it just you they hate? Or is it all the upper management?
That was a really good question. I had a private channel open with Rati in the shuttle, in case he was nervous and wanted to talk without tying up the feed.
I hadn't thought about that.
I don't know.
There was a skeptical pause.
How terribly imperceptive of you.
You can fuck off into the abyss.
Is it a schism in the upper management? Come on, you owe us that much.
If we come out of the blackout zone with no idea what the situation is, how exactly do you think that's going to work in your favor?
All right. It is a schism. There was a small management faction that was angry at the prospect of losing bonuses because of a failure to deliver on all the operational goals. I had no idea they were this serious about it.
By operational goal, do you mean signing up the colonists for your slave labor pool?
She ignored Rati. Humans never want to hear about that part. Iris switched to the regular team feed, cutting Leonid out of the conversation.
So do we think the fighting will be confined to the two Barish Estranza factions? Or will taking us out be part of their business plan?
The only thing preventing Barish Estranza from seizing the colonists is our presence. The dissenting faction may believe that eliminating us is their next logical step.
Which meant our Prime and the Preservation Responder could be under fire right now. They would be defending themselves, and Art would start with disabling strikes on the BE ships. But if that didn't work, it had probably calculated what the point would be where it had no choice but to start slaughtering BE humans in order to keep our humans alive.
Barish Estranza could have intercepted our two messenger pathfinders.
If the Let's Get Those Bonuses faction had already started an attack, there was no reason to pretend to be respectful of each other's surveillance equipment anymore. Iris was quiet for a couple of steps.
We need to hurry.
I switched to my private feed with Art Drone.
You can take them.
I can, but they may decide to hold the colonists hostage.
That's what I was afraid of, too. The mission priority of our humans was to save the colonists. With everything that had happened, I'd been up in Art's business almost as much as it was up in mine. I knew that its mission priority was to save our humans. I was so tired of dead humans.
You won't let hostages stop you.
I will not.
I was able to see a difference in the darkness of the wall and partially closed hatch at the top of the ramp and the darkness that was the opening into the hangar. I sent Scout Drone 2 ahead to check our route. The Separatists could have told Bearish Estranza about the tunnel to the terraforming engines, but what we had seen of them made it hard for even threat assessment to imagine them sitting around chatting to visitors about all the obscure exits and entrances to their secret cave hideout. So the chances were negligible. As we climbed the ramp, Scout Drone 2 entered the hangar 20 meters ahead of us. I told it to accelerate into a quick scout run. From its camera, the hangar was another giant shadowy cavern, but the very faint gray storm light from where the opening had been cut into the jammed overhead hatch let the drone make out a lot more visual detail. The humans would still need the hand light. Scout Drone 2 was sending video of the tall landing platforms, the one occupied by the aging and half-assed hopper possibly built by amateurs, the stacks of supplies and salvaged materials. Nothing looked disturbed, except there were more drifts of windblown dust. It would have been nice to go up through the opening in that overhead hatch and have the shuttle meet us there like the humans had done before. But A, the armed shuttle was still in place somewhere, and there was an unknown chance it would be out looking for our shuttle. And B, we didn't have Art Drone with us so it could carry the humans up to the unresponsive hatch. That was such a big but, it should probably have been A instead of B. Our shuttle could land or hover to let Art Drone out, but it would have to come all the way down here to get the humans, and that was more time on the ground, more time for the BE shuttle to find us. There was a lot of equipment here, and Iris and Tariq were smart. There might be something they could use to get up to the hatch. But that didn't help the problem of the shuttle landing and being a static target. No. Even risk assessment thought my original plan was better. We'll take the tunnel back to the terraforming construction access. As I led the humans into the hangar, the contact with Attacol 2 started to drop.
End session. Acknowledge.
End session. Be safe.
I can't deal with that right now. The lack of visibility in the hangar was not great for the humans, but it had less of an air of pre-CR site with monsters than it had initially.
What is this place?
It's an unused part of the old pre-corporation rim site, as far as we know.
The humans started talking on the feed about the feasibility of waiting until dark again to land our shuttle near the construction access. With the blackout conditions, the armed BE shuttle wouldn't have any short-range, much less long-range scanners to pick us up at night. Iris pointed out that we wouldn't have any scans to assist with a night landing either, and we couldn't afford the chance of even a minor accident that might strand us. Tariq said the shuttle could land farther away and we could walk to it. Rati said the visibility was still shit out here and started going through the last weather reports that Attacol 2 had issued. I had the conversation mostly backburnered. For once, we had time to figure out the best strategy, and they were doing a good job of going through all the relevant issues. The vehicle was gone. I stopped. The humans jostled to a halt behind me. Scout Drone 2 had gotten far enough to get a view of the tunnel entrance, and under the stark emergency lighting, it was empty. The vehicle from the terraforming access was gone. Ugh, organic neural tissue? Whatever the hell you're doing with the secretions and neuron firing, it's not helping. Okay. Maybe a colonist found it and moved it. Let's check threat assessment. Scout Drone 2 winked out. Gone between 1/10 of a second and the next. Iris drew breath to ask what was wrong.
Kill the light.
Fortunately, Tariq was the one holding the hand light. He clicked it off instantly, corporate death squad training making him comply, while any of the others would have needed a second or two to figure out if I was talking to them or which light.
We have to move. Hold hands, stay tight behind me.
Tariq grabbed Leonid's good arm and stepped close to put a hand on my shoulder. Iris grabbed him in the back of my suit utility belt. Leonid was squished in the middle, but did not protest. I walked as fast as I could while still letting them keep up and stay in position. I took us in a zigzag pattern through some stacks of metal salvage and past two looming broken stalks for missing landing platforms. The hostiles could have marked our position from the hand light. The hangar was big, but if there were two of them, there was a 96% chance one had taken a position high up somewhere to watch for us. The other had to be where Scout Drone 2 had gone offline. and quiet and fast enough to take it out with no warning. It had to be sec units. Something in my organic neural tissue said it was sec units.
One, possibly more hostile sec units in immediate range.
I was falling back on company protocol to talk, the rest of me running terrifying potential sequences of events and trying to figure out where to send the humans. This was a fucking worst case scenario. These sec units must have come from the second Bearish Estranza shuttle, the armed one. It might be still on the ground where Rati and Artrone had seen it last. It might be hunting for our shuttle. But at some point, it had dropped its sec units outside the installation to watch for escape attempts by colonists. I knew their sec units had the same 100-meter limit. No, I didn't know that. They had the same kind of kill switch if they were too far from their human supervisors, but I had no idea what the limit was, or if this proprietary brand allowed a human supervisor to waive the limit for emergencies. I was 98% certain that they would be using the same weird hub system setup with an augmented human controller. I couldn't get to it to hack it. There were no signals in here that I could detect, which meant their communications were locked down as tight as ours were. Attacol 2 was out of range this far into the hangar. The Bearish Estranza shuttle would have to stay in contact with their sec units.
Are you close enough to jam their comm?
Not yet. The interference has shortened my range. Their hub system may be operating inside the shelter of the installation.
Which meant the rest of their task group was closing in on us. I had been in worse situations with humans to protect, but I couldn't pull any from my archive right now. I had never been in a worse situation with humans to protect when I was this likely to panic and shut down from a stupid memory of something that hadn't fucking happened. Okay, it had happened, but nobody ate my leg. The fear that a hostile sec unit would snatch one of my humans away in the dark was almost incapacitating.
We're 6 minutes out. We'll land and I'll go in for you.
You can't risk the shuttle.
The purpose of the shuttle is to retrieve the team. Prepare for evac.
Do you want this?
I held out a hand and she put the tiny Bearish Estranza sidearm into it. Despite faster pulse rates, the humans were moving quietly. But we were pressing our luck. Somebody was going to step on something loud or fall at some point. I stopped behind a blocky obstruction that was big enough to cover us.
Crouch down.
Everybody did. Artrone had started a time to arrival countdown in the feed. We had to be in good position, so I needed to find one.
If we were higher up, it would be easier for Perry to get us out.
They won't be watching for that. They don't know what Perry can do. They don't know that we have a way up there.
That was a really good point. But I didn't like this plan. It would leave them vulnerable throughout the process. But the only other option that was coming up in my procedure module, I called it the panic module because that was the only time I looked at it, was to find a secure area to shelter in place until retrieval, which was just unbelievably stupid in our current situation. Who wrote this fucking module, for fuck's sake? It's not factoring in the exceptions. No wonder taking advice from Sanctuary Moon was better. Put the fucking panic module away. You know what to do. I had led them at an angle, toward the side of the hangar that was closer to the dim shaft of light from the gap in the hatch. The sec units would expect us to avoid the place where it was easier to spot us, so I'd done the opposite. I know, believe me, I know. This is an illustration of the phrase, grasp at straws. The landing platform with the pseudo-hopper on it was the closest high spot, and a quick review of the video the drones had taken on the way in here showed the access stairs were intact. Also, it would give them something to take cover behind. I sent Iris and Tariq an image of it, with more detail than they could see with unaugmented vision.
We're going to this one, with the aircraft. When we get there, start climbing. I'll cover you.
With no drones and no cameras, I had to look at them to make sure they were listening, and just to see what they were doing. They didn't move immediately, and it stretched 0.04 seconds past the point where even a human would have reacted by now.
There is no time to waste. Move now.
I think it added something to Iris on her private feed.
Right, let's go. Sec unit, we'll wait for you up top.
I know they will, which is why I'm willing to die to get them up there. We were 20 meters from the target platform access, and it was mostly undercover, except the last approximately 13 meters. I eased upright and led the way toward the platform, watching for moving patches of darkness that might be sec units.
2 minutes out.
Artrone switched to our private channel.
Prioritize escape. You can't kill more than one in your current circumstances.
It meant without armor or a larger projectile weapon and with no feed for hacking. It was giving me a lot of credit to think I could even do one right now. We were just crossing into the area without cover. Low visibility for humans, but not bad at all for sec units. And suddenly, I knew the second one was about to hit us.
Run, now!
They ran, blundering a little in the dark, and it made its first mistake. It bolted toward them, and its boots scraped on the gritty floor, and I had its position. A quick speed/direction analysis, and I ran forward, jumped to the top of a crate, and leapt off. It might have been prepared for me to run up on it, but it was not prepared for me to come from that angle. It flung an arm up and managed to fire 3 projectiles before I grabbed the arm and swung my weight and momentum and whatever it's called and flipped us both onto the ground. I said before, most sec unit armor isn't powered like armor for humans. It's just giving our squishy bits extra protection and protecting the manufacturer's investment. So it's not like this sec unit was stronger than me. It was just a lot easier for it to tear bits off me if I wasn't careful. Also, it had that stupid projectile weapon arm, which it immediately started trying to shoot me with again. We scrambled around on the pavement. It tried to keep me off its helmet, and I fired energy pulses into the joints I could reach, and it shot me 3 more times. My advantages were that it didn't know how to fight this way, at least not with another construct. Governor modules aren't helpful for learning and dealing with new experiences, you may have noticed. And that I knew how its armor worked, where all the vulnerable points were likely to be, even though it wasn't the same as company armor. But I had no cameras, no intel, no idea what else was happening except the humans running to the shuttle. You'd think it would be nice not to have distractions, and you would be so, so wrong. I am not meant to function without multiple simultaneous inputs. If this was what being a human was like, it sucked massively. Hostile sec unit managed to clamp a leg around my knee and flip me over. It got a hand on my environmental suit helmet and tried to smash my skull into the floor. It had my left arm pinned in its armpit, which was a bad move, because I fired my energy weapon in a sustained stream and that was a weak point in its armor. Suddenly, I had a camera view on the humans. It was disorienting for a second. It was such a relief. Then I realized the shuttle had arrived. An Art Drone and Rati had let my last drone, Scout Drone 3, equals Final Drone, out. Fuck yes. It had gone into a standard surveillance mode, focusing on movement, and I immediately saw 2 things. 1, the humans had reached the access stair for the landing platform and started up. And 2, a second sec unit ran across the open stretch of paving toward them. 3, Art Drone dropped through the gap into the overhead hatch. I sent the drone's camera feed to Art Drone, with Hostile Sec Unit 2's approach tagged ACK, which was a typo, but Art Drone got what I meant. It jammed the comm that Bear Shastranza was using to connect their sec units with the weird augmented human hub system setup. At the same time, it changed direction and swooped down on the approaching Hostile Sec Unit 2. Hostile Sec Unit 1 twisted desperately to get away from my energy stream as I drilled through the weak patch in its armpit. I twisted with it, got an arm free and a finger under its helmet's release. Hostile Sec Unit 2 spun and fired projectiles up at Art Drone. It should have dodged, but it didn't. Art Drone took the impacts to the right of its carapace. One of the 4 limbs on that side fell off. Hostile Sec Unit 2 spun back around, barely breaking stride as it ran toward the tower. Tariq and Iris were on the stairs, Leonid behind them. The central stalk of the landing platform gave them temporary cover from Hostile Sec Unit 2's projectile fire until it reached a better position on the other side of the platform access. Hostile Sec Unit 1's helmet came loose under my hand, and I reached in and gripped the back of its neck. My angle was bad, but I didn't have a choice. I fired an energy pulse right into its spine and threw my palm and fingers. I've had to do this before, and it's never fun. Hostile Sec Unit 2 assumed that Art Drone was just a drone under the control of me or the humans, which, mistake. Hostile Sec Unit 2 circled the platform at a run and reached the angle it needed to fire at the humans. But Art Drone had controlled its near freefall, pretending to limp like a wounded drone. Now it accelerated at the last second and slammed into Hostile Sec Unit 2 from behind. I knew Art Drone had at least 2 drill attachments and a cutting tool that could get through the armor. But it had some other things, too. Hostile Sec Unit 2 had a moment when, if it had an actual separate projectile weapon instead of a built-in, it could have angled it back and blown Art Drone to pieces. But it didn't. Instead, the fucker tried to empty its onboard weapon into the humans. But Art Drone snaked a limb around and knocked its arm upright. projectiles knocked fragments out of the platform's stalk, but no fragile bodies tumbled down the stairs. I felt hostile SEC Unit 1 go into shutdown mode. It wasn't dead. It was just catastrophically damaged.
I know. Who isn't?
Shutdown would conserve resources until it was retrieved. If it was. I wanted to shove it off me, but I had to pry what was left of my hand out of its neck first. Hostile SEC Unit 2 didn't have a chance to shut down. When Art Drone let go, it fell into pieces. I got my hand free and struggled upright, stepped away from Hostile SEC Unit 1. Art Drone had shut down the comm so Bearish Estranza didn't know what had happened here, but we had an unknown number of minutes before they caught up. I caught simultaneous alerts from Final Drone and Art Drone. I turned. There was another SEC unit 10 meters away, just standing there. That's not good. With my pain sensors tuned so far down, I wasn't sure where I'd been shot. I was leaking through the holes in my suit, and I'd used so much power from my energy weapons that I was going to need to go down for a recharge cycle soon, or I would risk involuntary shutdown immediately if I had to use my weapons again. Oh, and my right hand was missing three fingers and had a hole in the palm. Performance reliability 68% and dropping. Art Drone was right. I couldn't do two. Art Drone hadn't moved. It had sunk to slump on the pavement, like it had lost control of some vital systems, including the ability to hover. The humans had reached the top of the platform and taken cover behind the pseudo-hopper. Iris was talking to Rati on our feed, trying to figure out a rescue plan with the soft drops. And Tariq and Leonid wanted me to lure the SEC unit toward the platform so they could push the aircraft off to land on it. What the hell? That won't work.
They're coming. You have to go.
This is one of the two you gave the code to. It's disabled its governor module.
The SEC unit didn't trust me enough for a feed connection. That was mutual. Then, I surprised the shit out of myself.
Come with us.
It stepped back.
They don't know.
They didn't know about it. It was going to do what I had done. Pretend to keep doing its job.
You need to go. They're 2 minutes out.
We had to go. I stepped back, then turned and ran toward the landing platform. Art Drone hadn't moved.
Are you all right? Can I come down and help you?
No. Stay there. We have to go. We have 2 minutes.
Then I realized our way to get to the overhead hatch and reach our shuttle was out of commission and needed to be rescued just as much as the rest of us. And that was why they were talking about the soft drops. That would take way too long. They were too slow. It would take more than 2 minutes for Rati to send them down here. He'd have to get out of the shuttle to drop them through the gap, and it would take more minutes of work to get them to go up again. Wait, why had Tariq and Leonid thought they could push the pseudo-hopper off the platform?
Can that thing up there fly?
Tariq thinks so. It's not as old as it looks. Tariq thinks they can fly it out of here.
Get it started.
I called in Final Drone, set it to hover over my head, and leaned down to put an arm around Art Drone. It wrapped a couple limbs around me, and I lifted it, grabbed the handrail, and started up. Art Drone connected to our private channel.
I apologize. I can download this iteration to the surplus storage in the shuttle, but the tech in this drone cannot be allowed to be closely examined by corporate—
Shut up!
I connected to the team feed.
Rati, you need to get that shuttle in the air now. They're almost here. Meet us at the terraforming construction access.
Fuck off.
Right, go in now. Just be careful.
The bot pilot sent an acknowledgement to Art Drone that it was beginning liftoff. Near the top of the stairs, I looked back to see the SEC unit was gone. It would loop back around and pretend to be searching the other half of the hangar. At least, that's what I'd do. The augmented human controller I disrupted on the other shuttle had been relatively easy to fool from the inside. It must have been the first thing this SEC unit learned how to do when it hacked its governor module. Focus, Murderbot. Tariq and Leonid were in the pseudo-hopper. I was climbing the last section of steps when Iris came down to meet me, her body language broadcasting anxious human.
Are you all right? Do you need help with Perry?
Bearish Estranza would be in the hangar by now, and the pseudo-hopper was not quiet.
We need to go. They're here.
Art Drone reached out a limb to Iris.
My function is impaired, Iris. So is SEC units.
Will you shut the hell up?
You shut up.
Let's everybody shut up and get in the flyer.
Iris shouldered Art Drone's limb, taking part of its weight. Art Drone's size was awkward, and Iris had to help me heave it into the pseudo-hopper's cabin. She shoved me in after it, climbed in, and pulled the hatch shut. Tariq and Leonid were in the co-pilots and pilot seats, arguing about who knew more about flying semi-derelict aircraft jury-rigged from parts left behind by terraformers. But they were both working over the controls in the piloting interface. I have a module for piloting hoppers, which this seemed similar to, but I also had a low performance reliability and a yellow warning on my power reserve, so I sent Final Drone to take a position in front of the control board anyway. If we slammed into a wall, I'd get a good view, I guess.
There's no bot pilot.
Iris helped me wrestle Art Drone into a seat so we could strap it in. The passenger compartment was small, with only 4 seats and a webbed cubby for supplies. Most of the cabin was meant for cargo. Somebody had left an old mask filter on the floor.
This is unnecessary. I am capable of—
People who get shot don't get to argue about safety protocol.
I could see her face through her helmet plate, and she was sweating.
They said it looks like the colonists did maintenance on this thing at some point in the past 40 years, so it's not as bad as— Ah! Your hand!
It's fine.
While the upholstery was worn and cracked, the interior looked better than the outside. It was going to look a lot worse the way I was leaking. You could tell there had been repairs and even some updates. I leaned over to make sure Art Drone's strap was secure, and a couple of projectiles fell out of my suit. I could feel a few more rattling around in there. Sometimes they pop out on their own. With no drones in the shuttle, I was relying on the bot pilot's data feed and Rati's verbal reports, but he was pretty good at those. They were in the air now, navigating back the way we originally came in, staying low to the ground and using the dust as cover. The shuttle had mapped the terrain along the way, so by retracing its path, it was unlikely to run into anything, even in low visibility with impaired scan. Our remaining pathfinders had formed up around it, though without me or Art Drone to manage their inputs, I didn't know how much that was going to help. Bot Pilot could do it to a limited extent, but that was it.
See you soon.
I got a last ping from Bot Pilot as it vanished out of our feed range.
The Bot Pilot is also me.
You said there's an opening up there.
Your friends know where we are. By the time we get in the air, their shuttle will be out there, and it's faster than this jewelry-rigged bag of spare parts. We're taking the tunnel.
You're out of your mind.
Leonid calmly brought up a terrain interface. It floated above the control board, parts of it blinking red. It was an old-fashioned layout and style that I'd only seen in retro dramas.
You people astound me.
Says the person whose fault this all is.
Tariq made some rapid adjustments.
How do you think this thing has been getting in and out of here? Does it walk? Iris, strap in. We're ready.
Somehow Iris shoved me into the seat next to Art Drone and strapped me in, too. She shifted over to a seat to strap herself in.
Let's go.
I didn't feel great, but just sitting down helped me recover some power reserve. I couldn't do a full recharge until we were clear. Not that I could do much to protect the humans now, because the primary danger at the moment was one of them slamming the pseudohopper into a wall. We were moving a lot faster than we had in the tunnel vehicle. Yeah, I had thought the open compartment was unsafe, but compared to this, not so much. The pseudohopper didn't have a bot pilot or anything like what we were used to with a modern aircraft. Just a rudimentary self-navigator that helped keep it on course in the middle of the tunnel. Tariq and Leonid kept their hands on the controls, gazes locked on the interface. In the team feed, I put up the map we had made on the way in and did a calculation of our current speed and projected time of arrival. Any navigation aids or warning systems this tunnel might have had were long offline. We were lucky to have the emergency lighting. If we were right, and Bearish Estranza didn't know about the construction access, they would have no idea where we were going. They would have to follow us in the tunnel vehicle, if they could find where the 2 hostile SEC units had moved it. Up top, their shuttle would be searching for our shuttle, or looking for where the pseudohopper would come up to the surface. Or both. Probably both. Iris rustled around in her bag and pulled out a medical kit.
I know you don't like physical contact, but that much bleeding can't be good.
It'll stop in a minute.
The reserve energy drain was worse, and moving around trying to get my suit off so she could patch leaks would use up more energy and be stressful. And I wasn't up for stressful. What I wanted to do was sit here and watch Sanctuary Moon with Art Drone. Or, actually, Art Drone was in worse shape than I was. In our shared processing space, I started up its favorite episode of World Hoppers. I couldn't tell if that helped, but I could tell it was watching.
One question. Is that actually a SEC unit?
You know...
Iris took a pad out of the medical kit and started wiping bloodstains off Artrone's carapace.
You can mind your own damn business.
Oversensitive.
Leonid was quiet for 5.3 seconds.
Is someone actually watching entertainment in the feed right now?
Oops, I guess there was a little bleed over. Probably from Artrone's end.
I always watch entertainment when I fly.
Fuck you all.
Right back at you.
We didn't crash, but as Tariq and Leonid slowed for the end of the tunnel, they saw we couldn't land in the bay. There was some kind of large obstruction in it. It was an oh shit moment for all of us. Then as we got closer, we saw it was our shuttle. We just hadn't recognized it because of the bad light and because it looked like it was wearing a hat.
Roddy, what did you do?
It's the survival tent. I was looking for something to help hide us. I didn't want to close the big construction hatch and then not be able to get it open again. Dust collects fast here, and from the Pathfinder's view, it looks like the bay is a sand drift.
That's just a little brilliant. I guess that's why you're a scientist.
The shuttle's hatch opened, and Rati jumped out, waving at us.
We need to hurry. One of the Pathfinders got an image of a BE shuttle a little to the west about 20 minutes ago.
Rati used the tent's feed interface to collapse it down, and he and Tariq shoved it back into the cargo hatch. Iris and I loaded Artrone into the shuttle. Leonid climbed in first and moved the seat for us and pulled down the safety restraints so Iris could get them on its carapace. Yeah, she went into the shuttle first. She didn't make any attempt to leave without us. Which was good for her, since Art's bot pilot, while not vocal, is still an Art iteration, and I could feel it watching her in the feed like a thoughtful predator. I think she was just impatient to get the show on the road and knew the only way to speed us up was to help. Rati and Tariq piled in, and Bot Pilot shut the hatch and lifted off while they were still strapping down in the cockpit. In the team's feed, Iris pulled up a navigation screen that showed what should be Art Prime's current position, based on where it was when we entered the blackout zone.
There's no point in being stealthy. Let's go straight home.
She was right. We had come here from the other end of the inhabited continent, across the planet. Now, the faster we could get out of the blackout zone, the better. The bot pilot engaged thrusters, and we lifted straight up out of the bay. The Pathfinders pinged in, pulling back into a scouting formation around us. But I could tell Art Drone was losing function. It was taking in their data from the bot pilot, but not sending back instructions. I took over, gently slipping the connections away from it across our shared processing space and sorting them into the same inputs I used for the drones. It changed the positioning a little, but bot pilot thought it would work. Even with the bot pilot assisting, I couldn't fly the Pathfinders all simultaneously like they were little miniature shuttles like Art Drone or Art Prime could. They were too different from Intel drones, and also, I didn't know shit about flying into space. The shuttle scan was still limited, but the dust was providing some visual cover. The navigation interface showed where the projected edge of the blackout zone was and our time to exit. It was somewhere in the upper atmosphere, that part where it stops being atmosphere and starts being space. I don't know what it's called, and Art Drone was drifting, watching Worldhoppers, and I didn't want to disturb it by asking. Minutes passed, and the humans were starting to relax, folding down environmental suit helmets and hoods. Tariq and Rati were monitoring controls, but had started a conversation in their private feed. Iris was still watching the navigation interface, but absently patting Art Drone. Leonid sank back in her seat. I was almost relaxed, too. Art has nice shuttles, and I like this one. The upholstery was in good shape, and it didn't smell like human feet. We were minutes from Art Prime and safety. We came out of the dust cloud, and the Pathfinder in the lead pinged me a warning right before its input went dead. I sat up.
Incoming.
Leonid threw a startled look at me. Tariq flicked through interfaces, pulling up the exterior cameras.
There it is.
Oh no.
I already knew from the Pathfinder's visual data. Yeah, there it was. The armed Bearish Estranza shuttle, coming up at us from below at an angle, closing in.
Sec unit, if you need me to authorize deadly force.
I didn't, but it's always nice when they do. I'd put the Pathfinders in a variation of drone formation that can be used for both scouting and defense. Anticipating the pulse attack and trajectory, Bot Pilot did something that made the shuttle jerk and dip. With the Bot Pilot assisting with the navigation, I sent one Pathfinder into the path of the estimated trajectory, and the BE shuttle's pulse struck it instead. the Pathfinder exploded. The BE shuttle prepared to fire again, but its blackout-limited scan would be full of noise from that explosion. It didn't see the second Pathfinder it had already put into motion. It finished its dive with an impact directly on the BE shuttle's nose. The shuttle fell away, still intact, but probably dealing with damage, a disoriented bot pilot, and a terrified human crew. Our shuttle powered upward, back on course and widening the distance between us. The humans were tense and quiet, waiting as the wind dropped away and it started to get dark. We were up there now in space, or still in some sort of transition zone, but there was no sign of the BE shuttle following us.
We're coming out of the blackout zone.
Bot pilot was reaching for Art Prime, sorting all the communication signals for us. Tariq studied the interface.
Iris, there's another ship. It's a big... Oh, we're picking up a university ID beacon. It's one of ours.
Oh, finally! What a ride.
Iris got on the comm and called Seth to tell him we were alive. I backburnered her conversation and found Art Prime's comm signal.
We're coming in with possible pursuit and sent in a vid of the BE shuttle getting booped by the Pathfinder.
Acknowledge.
Bot pilot picked up a BE comm signal. I notified Iris. We'd broken their comm codes 2 days after they arrived and told bot pilot to decode. Iris added Seth to our team feed so he could hear.
Can you play it, please? There's another ship. It must have arrived via wormhole, but we didn't pick it up on approach.
You lame skull pieces of excrement.
Stand down! You heard me! What do you think is gonna happen?
It's armed and powering weapons. Oh, I want... Oh, deity!
You stupid!
Stand down!
Please, give me access to comm. That's my command staff, talking to the mutineers.
Tariq turned to look at Iris, and she nodded. He gave Leonid access to the comm channel. Leonid's expression hardened back into a cool, sardonic mask.
You heard her. Stand down. That's an order from your supervisor.
The channel got so quiet, Tariq tapped it to make sure it hadn't gone dead. We were close now enough that I felt Art Prime, Art, in my feet again. It took over the Pathfinders I'd clumped around us, and they split away and turned back toward the planet. It was going to redeploy them now that they weren't needed to protect us. Art slid into the shared processing space with Art Drone. For a brief moment, there was two of it.
Which base ship? Guess. It's Holism, isn't it? Oh, joy.
I was monitoring Art Drone's systems, and it was dropping toward catastrophic failure.
You need to hurry.
Handoff initiated. Handoff.
An Art Drone shut down. Suddenly, it was just a chunk of metal. Iris threw a wary look at Leonid and connected to our private channel.
Did they have time for the upload?
Yes.
I know they're the same. It's all just parry. That the drone will be repaired and the next time we need it, it'll be the same. But still, when something happens like this, it scares me. I just don't want to lose any piece of parry, you know?
I know.
And I did know. And now I was having an emotion. Like a big, overwhelming emotion. It felt bad, but good. A weird combination of happy and sad and relieved. Like something had been stuck and it wasn't stuck anymore. Cathartic. Okay. This fits the definition of cathartic. It was like the way I'd felt when I killed the target who threatened Amina and laughed at me because I was upset when I thought Art was dead. Except without the violence. And that only lasted a minute or so. And this seemed like it would go on a while. Nobody was dead. And I hadn't had a relapse of my stupid memory thing. And if I did have a relapse, at least I knew what it was now.
Don't just sit there. Console each other.
You fuck off.
Oh, shut it, Perry.
Why do you hate Holism?
I was on the bridge in the most comfortable station chair, surrounded by floating display surfaces. Art's interior was quiet. On the planet, it was night over the main colony site, so half our humans were taking a rest break. The ones who were still active were on either Holism or the Preservation Responder. It had been 7 planetary days since the mission, and we were finally working on getting colonists off the planet. Holism's backup ship, Sum Total, was coordinating the evacuation of 2 shuttles full of Bella Gaia's faction,
and the preservation responder was acting as escort and making sure that Bearish Estranza didn't get any ideas.
I don't hate anything. I am discerning in my company. My judgment in this area is impeccable.
It keeps pinging me.
Don't answer it. It's doing it to annoy me.
With Holism and its crew and its two supporting ships and their crews as our backup and witnesses, Bearish Estranza had been forced to grudgingly acknowledge the documents Pin Lee and Kareem had prepared and admit that under Adamantine's original charter, or what they thought was Adamantine's original charter, the colonists were now the sole proprietors of the planet and could stay or go at will. We knew BE still wanted to get at least some of the colonists to sign up as contract labor, but since the task force's implosion, they were mostly too busy dealing with their own shit to try that hard. The last situation update had said that the colony's main factions were getting ready to formally ask BE to leave. Martin had said he wasn't surprised that the Bearish Estranza task force had tried to eat itself. He said there were indications that intracorporate violence was increasing, that it had always been an unsustainable system. I really hoped he was right, but it sounded like something that would happen a long time from now, and I was mainly worried about now. The other factions of colonists had been continuing to negotiate with the tag team of Mensa, Tiago, and Kareem. Like Bella Gaia's group, they were looking at resettlement options in newly independent colonies outside the corporation rim that needed to increase their populations to be viable. Basically, they would be doing the same things they were doing here, but on a better planet with no alien contamination and no corporate control or ownership, and the option to pick up and leave on the next transport if they felt like it. I had taken that option once, so I could relate to how important that one was. A second team led by Iris with Kaidi and Martin was also now in negotiation with the Separatists. They still weren't big on leaving or rejoining the other colonists, but they had committed to going forward with the idea of managing the planet as a place for studying alien remnant contamination. In 4 hours, Mensa and Pin Lee, Preservation was acting as an independent third-party arbiter, would be going to a meeting between the Separatists and the university representatives from Holism to start working out the contract. Part of the lab plan was getting the Separatists access to a planetary feed and comm via hard cable connections to points outside the blackout zone. For now, we were communicating with them through Pathfinder-delivered message packets. Attacall 2 had requested copies of all of Art's entertainment files. Holism pinged me again, this time with a message packet. I checked, and the packet was tagged Infrastructure Proposals. Also as part of the Alien Contamination Lab deal, the university was going to repair or establish the infrastructure that Adamantine hadn't had time to install. This would be stuff like fixing the rest of the routers, rebuilding the satellite network, establishing transport to the Dropbox station, introductions to an independent polity trade network, hunting down the rest of the contaminated Agbots, etc. All normal planet stuff that I didn't know anything about. I sent back a message packet that said, basically, that I was a security consultant and that wasn't my job. Except for the batshit Agbots. That was clearly my job. I needed to get on that.
I could help you learn about it, if you're interested.
Stop talking to it.
I think it's just bored.
I don't give a shit.
Holism was like Art, an enormous asshole who thought it was omniscient. Yes, Art was not the only one. I was still processing whether this was a surprise, not a surprise, or a horrible shock. So were my humans, my preservation humans. It was weird to have so many humans I had to give them group names. I thought at first Art fucking hated Holism because it was bigger and potentially smarter. But after further observation, it might be because Holism was doing such a good job of acting genuinely indifferent to Art's hatred. This was mostly reflected in a passive-aggressive competition to see who could use the most annoyingly correct comm protocol. The only fallout from it so far was collateral damage to me and Seth, because it was irritating the shit out of both of us.
ETA on shuttle arrivals.
Some total only had two big enough for bringing up large groups of colonists and was offloading to both Holism and its own module dock to save time. They could have brought more ships, but Holism had already been en route here. Too late to find out that preserving the main colony site was impractical at best and negligent homicide at worst.
7.32 minutes.
7.3247 minutes.
The resulting silence on the feed was stony. I pinged 3, who was in its assigned cabin watching educational videos.
Do you want to listen to Holism explain planetary infrastructure to you? You don't have to if you don't want to.
3 indicated that it did want that. It was still tricky trying to tell if it was actually interested instead of just saying yes to everything you asked it. But it did have that weird thing for nonfiction and educational entertainment. I connected it with Holism on the feed. It wouldn't be too long now before Art could leave. One of the first things Holism had done on arrival was deploy one of its modules designed to operate as a temporary station. Dock to Art, its crew and bots had started to help with decontaminating and repairing Art's wormhole drive. Once they were done, and the contract stuff was finished and the colonists were situated, Art would be ready to leave the system, with Holism staying here to work on infrastructure with the Separatists. Mensa and the rest of my preservation humans would be going back home on the Responder. Amina had decided to apply to the university, but she had education modules to finish up at first landing on preservation. We were going to have to figure out what 3 wanted to do, or how to get 3 to tell us what it wanted to do. Rachi and Arata had been talking about putting together a team to work on a trauma recovery program for free sec units. They wanted me to work on it too, which I think they knew wasn't going to happen. I had given them a bunch of the data about my memory incident, and they were going to get Dr. Bharadwaj to work on it with them. They thought they had enough information for a good starting point. They also would have liked 3's help with it, but they were afraid to ask it, since they didn't want it to think it was being conscripted or something. Yeah, that was going to be an ongoing problem for a while. So was my whole memory incident slash thing. But at least I knew I could still do my job. I know I needed trauma recovery. I just didn't want to help figure it out for anybody else when I was still figuring it out for myself. But at least I knew now that was what I needed. I wanted to send a message to Dr. Bharadwaj about it. I don't know why, but just telling her stuff made it easier for me to figure out what I wanted to do. I had asked Art for a detailed description of what its trauma recovery treatment entailed, and it had sent me the file. I just hadn't been able to make myself open it yet. I'm getting there, okay? I was ready to get out of this system. I was never going to like planets, and nothing had happened here to change that. And I had decided, for real this time, which ship I would be on when I left.
Do you know where we're going next?
The Murderbot Diaries 7, System Collapse, by Martha Wells, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2003, Martha Wells. All rights reserved. Recorded by arrangement with the author. Sound recording copyright 2024, Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Narrated by David Quiqui. Featuring David Quiqui as Murderbot, Debbie Tinsley as Iris, and Elena Anderson as Art. With additional performances by Bradley Foster Smith, Christopher Walker, Eric Messner, Ava Wilhelm, Karen Novak, Ken Jackson, Kaya Freitz, Laura C. Harris, Lydia Craniotis, Nanette Savard, Richard Rohan, Scott McCormick, Stuart Crank, Thomas Penny, Tria Leong, Yasmin Twazan, and Zeke Alton. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Nathaniel Perry. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producer, Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Kobe Jameson. Original music by Kobe Jameson. If you enjoyed the Murderbot Diaries, you might also enjoy Red Rising, Sons of Ares by Pierce Brown and Rick Hoskin. All these titles and many more are now available at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening to hear a preview from Red Rising Saga 1, Red Rising.
Reds in our gardens.
The voice oozes with an accent. Oily. From Earth.
Ain't that a thing?
Ugly Dan stands with 3 tin pots. Their thumpers perch, crackling in their hands. 2 of the men lean on the metal rails of the Webbery's girders. Behind them, the women of Mu and Upsilon wrap silk from the worms around long silver poles. They shake their heads insistently at me, as if telling me not to be foolish. We've gone beyond the permitted zones. This will mean a flogging. But if I resist, it will mean death. They will kill Io, and they will kill me.
Darrow?
I set myself between Io and the tin pots, but I don't fight. I won't let us die for a simple glimpse of the stars. I put my hands out to let them know I will surrender.
Oh, hell divers. toughest ant is yet but an ant.
He swings his thumper into my stomach. It's like being bitten by a viper and kicked by a boot. I fall, gasping, hands on the metal grate. Electricity slithers through my veins. I taste the bile rising in my throat.
Take a swing, Helldiver.
Dan drops one of the thumpers in front of me.
Please, take a swing. Won't be any consequences. Just some fun between the boys. Take a pigging swing.
Do it, Darrow.
I'm not a fool. I thrust my hands up in surrender. And Dan sighs in disappointment.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romanticy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.